Stay right where you are. The local edition is about to start.
Support comes from the Catskills Food Hub, connecting the community with local and regionally sourced fresh food. Order online and pick up weekly in Bethel, Ellenville, Liberty, Livingston Manor, Margaretville, Narrowsburg, and Wurtsboro. Supporting agriculture and contributing to a healthier community. CatskillsFoodHub.org. From the River Reporter newspaper, RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you.
Welcome to the Local Edition. News and information is keeping you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And over in Monticello, a local church is running a program to train people on computers. It's the Shalom International Outreach Ministries. We'll be talking to Bishop Bennett from the ministries coming up in the second half of the program. But first, it is Thursday on Thursdays. That's when we check in with Wayne County. And over in Wayne County, there is the Wayne County Correctional Facility, and I hear they're hiring. Wayne County Correctional Facility has multiple openings in their workforce, has begun to hold hiring events to accept applications for corrections officers, nurse, and food service worker. The next event is Wednesday, January 12th from 4 to 7 p.m. I think that would be next Wednesday. And there was one that was just held yesterday. So to find out about how it went and what's going on, we've got John Masco, the deputy warden for Wayne County Correctional Facility, joining us on the phone. Hello, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Good evening, Jason.
So first off, can you tell us a little bit about Wayne County Correctional?
Wayne County Correctional Facility is a county correctional facility in Wayne County, Pennsylvania. We're located outside of Holmesdale in Indian Orchard. It's a 200-bed county correctional facility, and we are currently have an open hiring event looking for correctional officers, nurses, and food service employees.
Okay, and you know, when I read that, like it's the introduction was written that it says corrections officer, nurse, and food service worker. So are these multiple positions, or are you just looking for one of each?
We're looking for a part-time nurse, one full-time food service employee, and multiple part-time correctional officers, part-time correctional officer trainees that could eventually work into a full-time position within the correctional officer ranks.
All right. Well, let's start with those corrections officers. What would they be doing in the new job?
Correctional officers, they supervise the day-to-day activities of inmates. They make periodic patrols. They look for contraband. They do daily head counts. They do inmate transportation, pretty much anything with inside the institution. They handle the day-to-day operations.
Okay, and do they need any kind of prior experience or training, like any qualifications for these positions?
Currently, everyone needs to be at least 18 years of age, high school diploma or GED, and you know, prior law enforcement training would be helpful, but it's not necessary. We pretty much give them all the training that they need at our facility. Once they're hired, we do on-the-job training with them, and we put them through an in-house training academy at our facility.
So this could be a young person right out of high school or college, or it could be somebody who's actually had experience in law enforcement or security.
Absolutely, yep. A lot of times we end up having younger workforce start with us, and then they get some law enforcement experience, and then they can transfer to the state prison system, state police, federal government, Federal Bureau of Prisons. But it's also a great opportunity for someone that wants to just start a career and stick with the county. You know, the wages are good, health benefit package, retirement, all the things that come along with a for the county government job.
Yeah, I guess I that's what I wanted to make sure I checked with you, because you said it was a county, you know, a county correction facility. That's not just its jurisdiction. So this is the county operating it. So you work for Wayne County Corrections. You're working for the county.
You're working for Wayne County, correct?
All right. How about the nurse position in the facility? What certification experience would nurses need?
Nurses, we're looking for either an RN or an LPN with the pay based on their experience. They just do day-to-day medical, handing out medications, seeing inmates, assisting our doctors with the day-to-day operations of the medical department.
Right. Okay. And then finally, for the food service worker, what are the qualifications for the food service worker?
Our food service workers, we like them to have at least 2 years in a lead kitchen role, but we do we can work around that. We like them to have some type of formal culinary training, and along with a ServSafe certification through the Department of Agriculture is preferred, but we do. We have worked with the right staff to help them get that certification. And their job is to prepare the food for the inmate population. And they usually supervise a group of inmate workers in the kitchen. And they prepare all meals for both the staff and the inmate population.
Okay. And I mean, right now, I've just made note of the fact that looking at 7-day average for new cases of COVID in Wayne County, today's the first time we could say that the 7-day average has now hit the highest that it's been for the entire pandemic, even higher than last December when there was that peak. I was just wondering how your organization's holding up, Wayne County Correctional Facility, during COVID at this time, during this current surge. You doing all right?
Everyone's doing well, both the inmate population and the staff. We've got a lot of safeguards in place with a lot of PPE and upkeep and sanitation, and everyone's doing well, and everyone is healthy and safe.
Okay, and we'll recap on when this next hiring round is next Wednesday. We'll give the details of that coming up, but first, is there anything else that you wanted to mention to folks?
That's it. Pretty much, you can come down and fill out an application anytime during normal business hours, Monday through Friday from 8 to 4. And then again, we will be having the open hiring event next Wednesday evening, 4 to 7. And we're doing on-the-spot testing for the correctional officers and on-site interviews for the food service and the medical those nights at our facility on Midway Drive in Holmesdale.
Okay, and again, that's from 4 to 7 next Wednesday, January 12th, and there's more information, as always, at the Wayne County website, which is waynecountypa.gov. Again, that's waynecountypa.gov, and you can look for the job listings there as well. Well, John, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us tonight.
I want to thank you, Jason. We appreciate it, and you guys taking the time to spread the word for us. And
yeah, good luck on your hiring.
All right, thank you very much.
John Masco, Deputy Warden for Wayne County Correctional Facility. They're hiring. And that was our weekly check-in with Wayne County. Sometimes we talk to Wayne County more than once a week, but we always talk to somebody from the county or working with the county, Wayne County in Pennsylvania. The first interview of the show every Thursday, right here on the Local Edition. Radio Catskill, we're keeping you connected.
Here we come a-wassailing among the leaves a-green. Here we come a-wandering so fairly to be seen. Now is winter time, strangers travel far and near, and we wish you...
Winter was the season when country people used to sing to their apple trees to promote a good harvest. It's called wassailing, and there are some great wassail songs. We'll be hearing the best in the Wagga Load of Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill, Sunday afternoon at 3.
Radio Catskill, keeping you connected.
Recently on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Mo Rocca talked about the heartbreak of the latest COVID wave.
Yeah, you hear about somebody having a breakthrough and you think, good for you, and then it turns out it's an infection.
Yeah.
I'm Peter Sagal. On this week's show, we ask Woody Hobart, astronaut bound for the moon, if he's practicing what he's going to say when he lands, unlike that other guy. Join us for Wait, Wait from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Cases of pediatric hospitalization due to COVID-19 are up in our area. And as Governor Kathy Hochul said at her remarks earlier in the week, State of State Address, that that age group, the children, the youngest, the 5 to 12-year-olds, that's becoming one of the highest risk groups in terms of the pandemic right now. Yesterday, I spoke with Dr. Anjana Pantoda, pediatric hospitalist for Garnet Health Doctors and medical director for Women and Children's Services. And we'll be hearing that interview tomorrow, but here's some of what she had to say.
We are seeing increased numbers of parents coming in, but I would like to advocate for more such calls, more such responses, because it's still not adequate. We do see a little bit of an increase from previous times, but I would request all the parents, families to reach out to the pediatricians requesting for the vaccines, because that is the only way the antibodies can protect against this virus.
And again, that was Dr. Anjana Pantoda returning to the local edition. First time in a while. We'll have her back on in conversation tomorrow on the local edition. So you want to be listening to that. If you didn't notice, you didn't hear anywhere else, today is January 6th. It's been that way all day long. And a lot of news happening nationally. I just wanted to play for you a clip. Last year, January 6th, I was here anchoring the live coverage. It was coming from NPR. And then the following day, we spoke with Congressman Matt Cartwright from Pennsylvania's 8th District, who was at the Capitol when this happened. So he gave us a first-person account of that. And then we spoke to him just a couple of weeks ago in mid-December to get basically a year later, how's he thinking, what's he thinking of, and especially in terms of the state of our democracy and the January 6th attack. So before we get to our next live guest, I just wanted to replay this clip from our conversation on December 14th, Pennsylvania Congressman Representative Matt Cartwright.
They attacked the citadel. They attacked the citadel of our democracy. They broke in to the United States Capitol building, the first time that it has been attacked and broken into since the War of 1812. And it's not something that we can lightly brush over and sweep under the carpet. It happened. And it was people that wanted to change the result of the election. It was why they did it. Democracy has its flaws, but, you know, no better system has ever been developed. And we have to guard and protect democracy. We have to jealously defend democracy, because it's so fragile and it could go away so easily. The January 6th Commission is in full throttle going through what the facts are. They've interviewed hundreds of witnesses. I think that we owe it to those brave men and women of the Capitol Police who defended us and me on that day to get to the bottom of what happened that day and why it happened.
You're talking about the importance of democracy. How are you feeling about the strength of our democracy right now as we're heading into 2022?
Well, I think that was a wake-up call. You know, it made us realize that, you know, things that happened that broke down democracy in other countries, we've been so sanguine, we've been so smug that, oh, that could never happen here in America, that our democracy is bulletproof. It isn't. It's fragile. It's something that we have to work at to keep alive. It was Benjamin Franklin that somebody asked, well, what kind of a government did you come up with, Mr. Franklin? And he said, well, it's a republic if you can keep it. And that's the question. Can we keep it? It's something that we all have to come together and fight for. you know, it's part of the American character, Jason. I think that we love to fight. Americans love to fight.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with how hard it was to get here. You know, the people that made it here, they passed down their genes of hardiness, of flintiness of character, and they passed those genes down to us, and we're all tough as nails too, and we love to fight. And when we're not fighting Nazism and fascism, when we're not fighting really bad people overseas, we come back, and what do? We fight with each other.
Yeah,
it's just kind of who we are. But at some point, we have to realize it's time for us to come together, quit fighting with each other just because we're bored, right? And realize we have bigger fights that we should come together to do together. For example, the fight against opioids in our country. Opioids are winning this war. People are dying from opioid overdoses all the time.
And that was just an excerpt we're replaying from our conversation with Representative Matt Cartwright, Pennsylvania's 8th District, representing parts of the Radio Catskill listening area. Spoke to him on December 14th. And the interview aired a couple days later on the local edition. You can find it at WJFFradio.org. In our archive, or just look for the local edition. Make sure you never miss any edition of the local edition. Sign up for the local edition podcast wherever you get your podcast from. This is a local edition. I'm Jason Dole, and right now we're turning from the other side of the river from where I am here in Sullivan County, moving from the Wayne County area. And casting our eyes out towards the eastern part of Sullivan County and checking in with Monticello. And I'm just rambling because I'm looking at the wrong thing. One moment. Here we go. I've got a guest on the phone. Shalom International Outreach Ministries are providing life skills in the form of computer training for free. And this is available to the community. During the pandemic, they've been offering grab-and-go meals, and they've got a number of community-oriented projects going on over at Shalom International Outreach Ministries. To find out more about everything that's going on, we're going to talk to Bishop Bennett right now, who's waiting patiently on the phone as I stumble through my notes. Hello, Bishop. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir, and it's a pleasure to be here tonight.
So can we start off? Could you just tell us a little bit about your ministries? Do you have like one church, one congregation? Do you have multiple facilities? What can you tell us about Shalom?
Well, we are a non-denominational church. First and foremost, we have one office right now, or one sanctuary right now, but then we have other ministries that sit under us. So we have a branch, not so much a branch of Shalom, but we are like a father church, or a mother church then to other churches. So we have one in Brooklyn. We had two in Brooklyn, but then we branch off and gave it to somebody else. And then we have another one in Brooklyn, and we have one in England.
Wow. Okay. So you're on both sides of the ocean, and then I guess you've got an office in Monticello as well.
Yes, we do.
Great. So how did you get started offering computer training programs at your ministries?
Well, what happened, we started out with a kid in last year's summer when the pandemic was, in the ripe or the peak of everything and the kids couldn't go to school. We had an after school program that we used to run here where they could come, do their homework, get help with their projects, stuff like that. And that's how we started out. And then after the pandemic kind of, cooled down and folks start going back out to school, and we had the computer here, and, we just opened it up to the community.
And the idea is just to do some good for the community, right?
Right. Just to empower the community, empowering youth, women, just about anybody who wants to learn the basic skills of using a computer in today's world. Technology is taking over the world, and, we just open it up and say, listen, guys, come on in, make use of the computer. Right now, the class, we have 7 computers because we have First, we had about four, and then three was donated to us by the computer shop in Middletown. And the class is expanding because even right now we are filled until March of next year. So we are in the process of trying to get more computer, March of this year, sorry, and, you know, just to expand the class.
You know, part of the story of computers in the pandemic and children is the fact that when schools closed down, so many kids had to be doing their remote learning on computers and devices that way. But a big part of that story that people sometimes forget, like that was tough for all kids. But then it also, that's something that increased the divide between those children that have access to such devices, those children from families that have a decent income, and those who do not have access to that technology, that there's income disparities and technological disparities between different kids. And there was already those disparities in the educational system. So it sounds like the work that you're trying to do is give some kids like a leg up on that, because they might already be starting off worse off than some of their classmates.
Yes, and that's what we were doing, because, you know, we had kids in our church that, you know, as you know, Shalom International Outreach Ministry, we are in a low-income community, and there are kids that didn't have access to the internet, didn't have access to the use of a computer, and that's why we opened the door, you know, and just did what we did for everybody, you know, to get the opportunity to be in school, to, you know, to help with their projects and stuff like that.
Right, because there was a need right there, not just in the community, but right there in your congregation.
Yeah. Yes,
and talking about needs during the pandemic, I heard about your grab-and-go meals. Can you tell us about that project?
Well, right now, grab-and-go goes right through. We do it every Sunday. You know, we prepare a good home-cooked meal for just about anybody who comes to the door. Whether it be a member of the congregation, somebody on the outside just passing by and, you know of the service or the program that we offer, and they want to stop on in and get a good home-cooked meal. So, you know, even though the pandemic is, we're still in the eyes of the pandemic, but we're still doing this right through every Sunday.
Wow. Okay. If people need to find out more about this or avail themselves of this service, what how can they find out more?
Well, definitely, they can visit our website, Shalom International Outreach Ministries, in Monticello, New York. We're at 24 Cold Spring Road, Monticello, New York. Our phone number is 332-200-7698. That's our phone number. And, you know, you can go on the website, see what we're doing, and if you want to come on by and, you know, be a blessing to us in whatever way, we definitely can use it.
Looking at your website right now, Shalom International Outreach Ministries.com. And yeah, I do. So now I see where you're located there. You said 24 Cold Spring Road there in Monticello. I've seen that building. I've driven by there. Now that I'm looking on a map, okay, I know where we are. I was missing you for a moment there. What other programs do you have going on that engage the community?
Well, we just did the Bridge of the Gap breakfast, where we involved D.A., Megan Gallen, Judge Labuda, and, you know, what we're trying to do, we're trying to bring the community together. You know, we're trying to work against segregation, separation, and, you know, we brought all the officials, the councilor, the mayor, you know, and we bring them under one roof, and we just had a wonderful time here. Folks just share, I mean, the community got a feedback of, well, the officials rather get a feedback of where the community is. And, you know, we just share different ideas and how we can build a relationship. And that's what Shalom is about. Even though we are a church, we are not just a church in the community. We try to be a part of the community. We try to work with the community, you know, and stuff like that.
Right, right. And now, along those lines, you know, like you're trying to build bridges in the community, trying to build connections in the community. That's tough to do at the best of times. These have not been the best of times. How has the pandemic affected your efforts and your outreach?
Well, Well, so far, you know, God has been good to us. Only one person just this week went and got a test, and it was positive, and I guess it was from the job that they work, because they work with the, you know, in the medical field. But so far, I myself got it in the earlier stage, and I recovered. And, you know, it, as you said, it has been tough. It has been challenging, but, you know, we try to take the necessary precaution on this side and just, you know, keep doing and just putting our trust in God and just keep working, you know, because we believe in, we have a duty to do. We have a mandate. We have a service. And, I mean, there are folks who definitely look for their meals on a Sunday afternoon. We just, right now I'm in the church. We're in the center. We have several women sitting here with me because the computer class just finished, because we have it on Mondays and Thursdays. And they're all here with me, you know, just listening in as we do this interview. So, you know, we try our best just to keep ourselves, you know, protected in the best way. And as you said, it's challenging, but we're going full speed ahead, and God has really been good to us.
You're a bishop. You're a man of faith. You're a leader in the community, and you're a minister of peoples. And I'm wondering, how do you minister to people's emotional and psychological needs at such a difficult time? Is there any things that you encourage your congregation to keep in mind as we face challenging times?
Well, and that's a very powerful question, because I'm glad that you asked a question like that, because I preach the Bible, and I, as you said, a man of faith. I live by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. And one of the things the Lord said when the Israelites were in Egypt, he said unto his servant Moses to tell the people to mark the blood upon their doorposts. And when the death angel was on the rampage, no harm will come to them. And at that time, Christ wasn't crucified. It was just a representative of his blood. And that faith that stood out then, and that belief and that move of God then, and that's the same thing I preach in my congregation. I tell the folks to listen, amidst the pandemic, amidst what is going on, we are still holding on to the bloodstained banner. We are still trusting God. We're not looking to the left nor to the right. And that faith has been keeping us, because, as I said, one of the things the Lord said to me in the midst or the height of the pandemic, he gave me a word I never forget. He said, as long as the people stay on board, even if anyone in this church catch the pandemic or catch the COVID, nobody will die from it. And we had folks who will catch it, like myself, my daughter, and we recovered full speed ahead, and we are going on in Jesus. So, you know, I just keep reassuring, as I said, I preach what I believe, and I believe the word of God. I believe everything that has been written in that Bible, and that's what I preach. As you said, I'm a man of faith, and I live by faith, I lead by faith, and I think that's what motivates my congregation, because, you know, I sometimes I don't have to see the end result. I just step out on faith. For the Bible said, the just shall live by faith.
Bishop, before we go, can you let us know, when's your next computer class that you're offering?
It's Mondays and Thursdays. Mondays, every Monday and Thursday at 5 o'clock. And, every Monday and Thursday. And the grab-and-go dinner, it's 1 o'clock every Sunday afternoon. And so if you're out, go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, there's more information at Shalom International Outreach Ministries.com.
Yes, there is a lot more. Just check our website out or in Google, and you will see what we're about. You will see what we're doing on this side. We are touching lives, and we are changing lives. We're, as one of our motto is, building, touch one life at a time, one community at a time, one family at a time. So that's what we're doing on this side.
All right, Bishop Bennett, Shalom International Outreach Ministries in Monticello, I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, sir, and thank you for the opportunity tonight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, that's going to do it for the local edition. News and information is keeping you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. John Gordon's up next. We're going to go right over to Honesdale and get into Ramble Tamble. I will remind you that there is snow is likely tonight. anywhere from 1 to 3 inches of precipitation is possible, starting in the late night, continuing on into the early morning, heading towards a high of 28 tomorrow. John Gordon might tell you the same thing all over again, though. This is Radio Catskill. We're WJFF. Thank